Okay, now it's counting off, counting down. Wow, geez. How about that? Now, see, put it up here and see if I can. Is this thing on?
No, it's
not.
No.
Well,
it's not on.
The battery pack is.
Try the inward button.
It's on too.
Is it on?
Yeah.
Oh, the black box there. Yep. There you go. That ought to think later.
We got a bunch of boxes there.
Yeah.
We got a tremendous setup.
About the time we learned it.
Yeah.
New
well, the one thing we need to get yet, and that is to record the services through the system rather than the phone.
It's really set up to do that. That's another of the learning processes we're going to have to go.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, Brother Ed and Nathan Olcott were great lengths. Now we just have to learn that process.
Okay, well that's good because that Maury's won't need to be, you know, getting their phone up, and you don't have to worry about Roger Hayne knocking the phone off. And the good thing is that if you walk over here, you're still going to be recorded at the same level. And as much as our preachers walk around, okay, that's significant. And so, and the same way when ladies come up to sing, we can just bend this thing down lower to them. And again, they'll be recorded more so than with the cell phone. All right, Matthew chapter 13, if you will, please. Within the pages of the Bible, God has revealed in considerable detail the trends and events that will characterize this age. And most specifically, the close of this age. A humble believer, led by the Spirit of God, and with a knowledge of the Word of God, knows more about the direction of this world and its nations than the most involved, unsaved person, be they an educator, a politician, or one of today's elitists. Because the Bible tells us regarding the conditions of this day. We have been considering the parables of Matthew 13, which tell the conditions of things between the first coming and the second coming of Christ. Things pertaining to Christendom. Now I illustrate Christendom as a big umbrella under which all people or groups that claim to be followers of Christ exist. And that, of course, would be identifying those who claim to follow Christ but do not follow him according to the scriptures. And it would be nice, I've heard people say already, well, why do we have to have different names on churches? And, you know, like Baptist, Lutheran, Methodist, why don't we just call them Christian? And one of the reasons is because, well, first of all, the historical aspect of the various denominations and sects or whatever you care to call them. But many say unto me, Lord, Lord, many use the term Christian, but they're not. Okay? That's not my declaration. That's the Bible's declaration. And so in Matthew 13, verse 33, we have the parable of the leaven. And like the one before it, the parable of the mustard seed, and the two following it, there is no explanation given in scriptures. We are left to use normal means of interpretation. Matthew 13, 33, another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal till the whole was leavened. All these things spake Jesus unto the multitude in parables, and without a parable spake he not unto them, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundation of the world. the usual interpretation of this parable, but not a correct interpretation, and I'll explain why, is that the woman represents the church, the leaven represents the gospel, and the meal symbolizes the world in which the leaven was hidden. Now, such an interpretation is used to paint a very glowing picture of the church spreading the gospel. That false picture comes through the influence of end-time events with a view known as amillennialism. And even more so, post-millennialism. Millennial, meaning the thousand-year rule of Christ to come. All millennialism means that there is no beginning or end. All millennialism, everything improves, and just eventually we find ourselves in the millennium. And that isn't going to happen. You say, that's your opinion. No, that's the Bible's opinion.
That's right.
And then the term post-millennial means once again that the world improves and we enter into the millennium and Jesus comes back at the end of the millennium. Again, that's a false view because it's not supported by Scripture. But you see, this interpretation of the woman representing the church, leaven representing the gospel, and meal symbolizing the world into which the gospel goes, that paints a very rosy picture. Again, the kind of interpretation of this large growth is out of step with the first three parables, which speak of remnants or small numbers as compared to the global conversion that man imagines. Now, let's look at it. What is leaven? Yeast is a microscopic plant, invisible to the naked eye. It is contained in a substance called leaven. And I found this very informative, and obviously these are things I gleaned out of reading and recording. I don't just know these things because I'm so naturally smart. Technically, a yeast cake is a leaven cake that has yeast in it. Now, the two are often used interchangeably, and that's understandable because the yeast is in the leaven and therefore does what yeast does and leaven does. When mixed in bread dough or pizza dough and left to rise, what is taking place is a fermentation, which is actually a decomposition. And when the dough has risen to the right size, it is placed into a hot oven where the heat kills the microscopic organisms and the fermentation stops. And at the right time, out comes a delicious homemade bread spread with butter when hot. Sliced when it's sliceable and toasted. I've got to tell you a story from our family. Our one daughter called home and told her daughter, our granddaughter, I've made was it bread?
Pizza dough.
Pizza dough. I've made pizza dough. It needs to go in the water. And then so the girl starts asking questions and the mother says, listen, just listen to them. Just do what I'm telling you. Take the pizza dough and put it in a sink of water. When she came home, that's exactly what she found, the pizza dough in the water. What she meant was take the bowl of pizza dough and put it in the water. And our daughter said, fortunately, when I saw it, I bust out laughing because she knew that she had not given precise direction. That's called communication. Okay? You can never give too much. You may give more. I had one man who used to say to me, "Pastor, you give too much information." And I said, "Paul, you only need a little bit, but some people need more. And I'd rather a person who only needs a little have more than they need than the one who doesn't have enough." All right, well, that's a side note there. No offering for that. Leaven is not like the gospel. That's the typical interpretation. Leaven is the gospel. But leaven is not like the gospel. Leaven works by itself, alone in the dough, spreading through the whole lump. Does the gospel work that way? Of course not, or the world would be saved by now. The gospel is dependent upon men and women, the printing press, or the broadcasting, or the individual speaking it to a lost person. It doesn't work alone. Or we could just drop 10 tracts, you know, into a populated area, and according to this, it would just eventually multiply, and everybody would have the gospel. No, it doesn't work that way. What is the effect of leaven? It puffs up. Picture that dough for the bread. Okay? Here it is one size, and when it's ready to be broken down and put in a pan, it's puffed up. The gospel's effect is the opposite. Persons become contrite and humble. So again, leaven does not depict the gospel. The fermentation process can be stopped by the heat of the oven. And so God's fiery judgment will stop Satan's leaven of evil from spreading in the world when his time is ready. The Bible has five forms of leaven which we are warned against. The first one is the leaven of the Pharisees, the book of Luke, chapter 12. Luke, chapter 12. Luke 12 and verse 1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch that they trod one upon another. Imagine that mob scene. Okay, people pressing each other, walking around on each other. I haven't researched it. You know, did some fall down, or were they walked on, or were their feet just stomped on? What does trod on each other mean? That's not significant to our purpose, but I found it interesting. He began to say unto his disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees. First warning, leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Avoid outward form and ceremony, seeking the praise of men. Tradition cannot come before the revealed will of God in the Bible. False appearances. Paul told Timothy about those having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Hypocrisy, first leaven. Second leaven is back in Matthew, and we're looking at chapter 16. Matthew 16, I'm going to begin reading at verse 6, the leaven of the Sadducees. Then Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Now we know the leaven of the Pharisees is hypocrisy, and of the Sadducees. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, it is because we have taken no bread. Which when Jesus perceived, he said unto them, O ye of little faith, why reason ye among yourselves, because ye have brought no bread? Do ye not yet understand, neither remember the 5 loaves of the 5,000, and how many baskets ye took up? In other words, it isn't the bread you didn't bring that I'm talking about. I can make bread just by speaking it. neither the 7 loaves of the 4,000 and how many baskets ye took up. How is it that ye do not understand that I speak it not to you concerning bread, that ye should beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Then, after he clarified it, after he broke it down into the simplest form that they could grasp, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but of the doctrine, the teaching of the Pharisees, which teaching is hypocrisy, having a form of godliness, and of the Sadducees. The Sadducees denied the supernatural. They were noted particularly for their denial of the resurrection. Many today, dressed in clergy cloth, deny the miracles. They talk using Bible language, but they're double talking because they're not giving it the meaning that's clearly in the scriptures. To help you understand the difference between the Pharisee and the Sadducee, I learned this so many decades ago. The Sadducees are sad, you see, because they have no resurrection. Okay? And that, of course, identifying belief in supernatural of other forms even. Then thirdly, in Mark chapter 8, is the leaven of the Herodians. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. Mark chapter 8, verse 15. And he charged them, saying, take heed, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. The leaven of the Herodians. This identifies the worldly political crowd who tried to court the favor of Herod rather than God. And so what we have identified here is religious politics. Now please, there's nothing wrong with Christians speaking out against wrong legislation, wrong laws, and so on. But this is talking about trying to court the favor of the government, to get the government on our side, or for us to get on the side of the government. That's the leaven of the Herodians. And then fourth is the leaven, and that's called a little leaven. And we're told to beware of it. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And we're looking at verse 6 and 7. Where Paul says, your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? Purge out therefore the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. In the church at Corinth, there was a partying spirit, carnality. And there was even in, we're told in 1 Corinthians, a problem of immorality. Condoning wrong is never a solution, okay? The government approving what is wrong because they have failed to control it, condoning it, approving it, is not the solution, all right? And so here, it's spoken to us in our lives personally. We should not figure, well, I don't do a lot of bad. I something that we know we're doing that we shouldn't be, or something that we're not doing that we know we should be doing. Well, I don't not do it all the time, or I don't do it all the time. Beware of a little leaven. Because what happens is that little bit of leaven that's put into the bread dough, what does it do? It spreads through the whole lump. And so a little leaven will spread through our whole life and influence and affect us.
Yep.
And we must beware of that. That's why Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 says that the serpent, Satan, is more subtle than any beast of the field. We are no match for the devil. I like to think that I've grown spiritually. I've grown sufficiently that I could control this. But if I don't admit that this thing is wrong, it's going to do me in.
Yep.
Yes, sir. Now listen, there's some things in our life that we participate in that would not be identified as sin. But they are, you see, all things are lawful, Paul says, but not all things are expedient. And therefore, there may be something that I'm participating in, something I'm doing that is not a sin, but that doesn't mean that it's good to do. Because what can happen is that that can influence other areas. Parents, and oh, I wish every parent was here that's associated with this church. You will choose some things that you feel can be an exception.
Yep.
I can get by not doing that.
That's right.
Or I can get by doing that. You'll pick your exceptions. Your children are watching. And don't be surprised when they pick exceptions that they're not the exceptions you can live with. But they'll pick other areas that are different exceptions that you'll feel they shouldn't be doing or should be doing. And they may not be able to verbalize it, but what it amounts to is, well, Mom, well, Dad, you did thus and such. And I've just chosen to not do this. A little leaven. Leaven's the whole lump.
Oh, it hurts.
Okay. And then even that little thing that's an exception that may not be devastating us. You know, we're not just looking at the time or the moment that we're speaking of. You've got a whole life. And what's going to come down the road 2 years from now? What's the situation going to be 3 years from now? The problem that you're dealing with. And it began with a little leaven back there 2, 3, or however many years ago.
Yes, sir.
But now you're living with it.
Another
Bible principle that supports that. Whatsoever a man sows, that must he also reap. Have you ever noticed that when I tried to grow some grass out back, and now I'm just mowing the weeds for the greater part, but I dropped a grass seed. You know what? It didn't come up right away. As a matter of fact, it didn't even come up the next day or the next day. But eventually, it came up. Now, not all of them came up, but most of them came up. Things that we sow in our life won't come up right away. It may take a while for it to germinate. It may take a while for that leaven to spread, but it will come up, because whatsoever a man sows, that must he also reap. Then there's the doctrine leaven. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9. Galatians chapter 5 and verse 9. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. You say, well, yeah, we just talked about that whole thing. Let's go back to verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he is a debtor to do the whole law. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, wait for the hope of righteousness by faith. For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that you should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. The doctrinal leaven that's warned about here is the attempt to mix law and grace. Now, Paul taught us that the law is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So this is not talking against the validity of the law, nor the work of the law, but these people were attempting to mix law and grace. This is what we would call the leaven of legalism. What your dress standards are, what your attendance, your entertainment standards are, is not legalism. They are your personal standards on those matters. That is not legalism. Legalism is when people try to mix law and grace to get into heaven, to get forgiveness, to get salvation. That's legalism.
Yes.
And that's the doctrine of leaven that Paul warns about. Now notice that all five forms are negative. Not one of them is good. Every one represents evil practice and doctrine or teaching. Now the parable says the woman placed the leaven in three measures of meal. Is there significance to the number three? After reading it, studying it, I don't think so. But here's what some teachers say the three mean, body, soul, and spirit. Others say, another one said that Noah's three sons are referred to because the earth was divided into three sections through the three sons. That one's way out. I could maybe see body, soul, and spirit. In other words, the leaven is going to affect my whole life. But I don't agree with that either. I just think it's the fact that it's three.
Yeah.
Three. Okay. Now, one fellow did say this is the amount that is usually baked. Three loaves of bread. Three cakes. Not chocolate cakes, but, you know, Bible cakes. Okay. Three. That, you know, apparently he studied into the baking of people in the Bible, and he claims they did it three at a time. The significance isn't how many. It's the fact that this woman put leaven in all of the meal. The meal was used in a sweet savor offering of Israel, and it spoke of God's Godward direction and aspects. Good, pure meal stands for the truth of Christ and his word. Leaven corrupts the meal, attacks in a hidden way. And so we must beware when we will allow a little bit of something that isn't scriptural. It is going to be like yeast in a lump of dough. It is going to spread, and it isn't going to spread right away. That's why if you are not capable in the use of the Word of God and knowing what word to use when the Mormons knock on your door, or when the Jehovah's Witnesses knock on your door, or whenever you would come into contact with any other type of false teaching, it's important that you not Get involved with it. That you not entertain it. We know the Word of God is superior over it, but do you know how to use the Word of God to overcome it? If you don't, you're going to get sucked in. And a little leaven, false teaching, is going to be planted in your mind. And you're not going to be able to erase it. Now, you can learn it. You can learn what scriptures to use with such people. You can learn what to say. Then you can confront them. But until then, your responsibility is to guard your soul. The last thing you need is to live all your Christian life with this nagging thought that some JW or Mormon gave you on your doorstep. All right, let's move along here. The woman in the parable of the mustard seed, the herb became a great tree. Remember, I showed you a picture of mustard trees, because most of the time we think of mustard plants. But there are mustard trees, that little seed that grows into a tree. The herb became a great tree which sheltered many birds, which were depicting the servants of Satan. That, like I use an umbrella for Christendom, under which are all kinds of people claiming to be Christian. So here the picture is a tree into which, and it's a tree of Christendom into which all of these birds, you see, of professing people light. It was represented, this woman, in the church at Pergamos, which grew into the condition of Thyatira. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 20. This is the message to Thyatira. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest the woman Jezebel. Now, we're not talking about the actual biological woman Jezebel, but that which even that woman depicted, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And so what we have here is a description of, and historically and very typically amongst conservative Bible teachers, we have a depiction of the Roman Catholic Church. And she, the Roman Church, you see, has this description. Now, Revelation chapter 17, and we're not going to turn to it. This is something you'd have to read at home. But Revelation 17 describes the apostate religious system of the end day. Remember, we're going from the first coming to the second coming. He's focusing in Matthew in the parables, especially on the events of this day and the end times. Here in Revelation 17, we have a description of the apostate religious system of the end times. It is our responsibility to guard against the corrupting influences of leaven, that is sin, to keep the church of which we are stewards. Stewards means manager. To keep it pure. It may seem like an insignificant task in comparison to the worldwide effect. But remember, we are not over the world. We are here. And so our responsibility begins here. Begins individually in you, the person, to keep yourself pure. To keep yourself from corrupting influences of wrong teaching and doctrine. You do that. Then we as a group are responsible to keep this church as a congregation, as an organization, from corrupting outside influences, and to keep it according to the scriptures. Now, what about the worldwide responsibility to witness the gospel? We do that through missions and through missionaries. They cannot get where they're going without support. And it is scriptural that God's people would support the missionaries. It is scriptural that God's people would send them out. Paul and Barnabas were sent out in such a manner by the church. And others in the scripture have been sent out, many of them going back to their own people. And hence it is that we are involved as a church with ministries that involve nationals, that use nationals in reaching the countries from which they are. But you see, you and I, we're responsible for Black Creek Baptist Church. It is our responsibility to not allow the leaven to be in. Now, that of course is fulfilled through its leadership. You see something, you hear something, you become aware of something. Even as a leader, it's right to bring that to our shepherd, the pastor. It's right for him to bring that to the deacons, to the trustees, to whatever leadership he feels should be aware of it. And then for that to be dealt with, not to be allowed. And that dealing with that may involve someone finding another place to worship. Because the leaven that they can spread, and let me tell you, they'll spread it. So many churches have seen it, and when they leave, they don't usually leave alone.
Nope.
They'll take somebody with them. Why? Because leaven corrupts.
Yep.
And that's why it can't be allowed. We can't say, well, maybe they'll change. Maybe we can influence them. If they just see our love for them. The problem isn't love. The problem is a declaration of the truth. Now I'm going into another subject, and my time is up. Father in heaven, we depend upon your spirit to teach us. You know how to live it. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Okay, I will tell you when to come up, okay? I made a note. I have it here.
Good morning.
Thank you.
247, if you will, please. Page 247. We'll sing together the song, He Hideth My Soul. Would you stand, please, to sing?